quite a sell-off in the stock market, crude oil, and the ag markets yesterday. What is going on? This is Hoosier Ag Today. Good morning. Welcome to the Morning Podcast on the 1st of December, 2021. I'm Andy Eubank on your Wednesday. The podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. They're online at ffbt.com. Shop local is one way you might be able to help with supply chain issues. We'll hear from a new Farm Bureau chief economist. Also, a look at yesterday's markets. Arlen Suderman has analysis, and the warm-up rolls on. Chief meteorologist Ryan Martin is here on the Hat Podcast.
The land of the free is also the home of the hardworking. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
How you can help alleviate the supply chain crisis this holiday season and Machinery Pete to headline the Indiana Farm Expo. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Supply chain issues haven't just impacted what we're bringing into the United States, it's also impacted what we're trying to send out. Farm Bureau Chief Economist Roger Cryan.
A lot of shortages have popped up because it's been difficult to get things shipped across the ocean. We've had difficulty exporting ag products because there aren't enough containers. The shipping companies are grabbing the containers back as fast as they can to get them back to Asia to fill up again. There's been some disruption. Even though we have record high ag exports this year, they would be higher if it weren't for some of these problems.
Cryan suggests that you can help with the supply chain crisis this holiday season.
To help make room on the ships for the computer chips to allow the combine manufacturers to finish those equipments, to allow the automobile manufacturers to put those cars that they built into service, to bring the fertilizer in that the farmers need, to bring the building materials that folks need, the things that are really needed to run our businesses and our farms in this country. Instead of ordering another TV, instead of ordering another furniture set from East Asia that needs to come across the Pacific through our West Coast ports, for the time being, it would be helpful to buy something local.
Cryan says Farm Bureau loves trade, and they want you to have that TV eventually. But this year, you might consider buying a local cheese basket, fruit basket, some local wine, or a gift certificate to the restaurant on Main Street.
Maybe this year we can appreciate the great things that we have close by and let that brighten our holiday.
One way to shop local is to shop for Indiana-grown products. You can find them in many local grocery stores throughout the state. Just look for the Indiana-grown logo. You can also visit shopindianagrown.org.
Midwest Pork Conference is excited to return to an in-person gathering at a brand new location. Join us December 7th at the Boone County Fairgrounds, Lebanon, Indiana, for a day filled with information you need for your farm. The conference features educational seminars, a huge trade show, and networking with other pig farmers over a delicious lunch catered by Shoup's Country Foods. Registration info at MidwestPorkConference.com. Join us December 7th at the Boone County Fairgrounds for a bigger and better Midwest Pork Conference.
This is Money Minute. Tips from the experts at AgriFinancial. Thinking about a building project for 2022, AgriFinancial can make the financing of that project quick and easy. Joining me is Gene Charvel, Regional Sales Officer with AgriFinancial, that has a long-standing relationship with Morton Buildings. Gene, how does that long-term relationship help the customer?
We found some really unique solutions to providing financing for both some pretty small Morton projects to the very large. And we have some great lease and loan products that really can benefit our customers.
And now that customer can be of any size.
We are happy to deal and do a lot of business with large and medium-sized full-time farming operations, but our financing fits very well the small part-time farmer.
More on how AgriFinancial can work with small and part-time farmers in our next report. In the meantime, visit cgb-agfi.com. This has been Money Minute from AgriFinancial.
The Indy Farm Show is back and in a new location, moving from the State Fairgrounds out to Westfield's Grand Park, December 14th, 15th, and 16th. What can you expect? Here's Gary Truitt.
He's the closest thing we have to a superstar in agriculture. Machinery Pete, the nation's foremost expert in farm equipment. New and used, he knows where to get the best deals. You can see Machinery Pete in person December 14th for two shows, brought to you by Farm Credit Mid-America and Bain Wealth bunker equipment. Just one other reason you need to be at the Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo at Grand Park in Westfield, Indiana. Get all the details at IndianaFarmExpo.com.
We sure hope to see you there. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
This is breaking news. The Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo is sold out. That's right. The massive Grand Park facility in Westfield, Indiana will be crammed with the latest farm equipment and technology December 14, 15, and 16. Free admission, free parking, and easy access make this the best farm show to attend in 2021. Get details at IndianaFarmExpo.com. The Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo, presented by Reynolds Farm Equipment, December 14 through 16 at Westfield, Indiana.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, the Eastern Corn Belt's fastest growing independent seed company. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com to get your seed guide with pricing. Moving forward here as we go through your Wednesday, I think we have to deal with a little bit of cloud cover and maybe a little bit of moisture over parts of the state. Right now, my feeling is it's still a central and southern Indiana, a little wave coming out of the Missouri Valley, coming across southern parts of Illinois. Do I think moisture is fantastic? No. But I do think that we have to allow for a few hundredths to probably 0.2 inch of moisture from I-70 southward, with coverage now a little bit stronger, maybe 70% of the area south of I-70. Farther north, I think we see a mix of clouds and sunshine, but I have no new precipitation up north. We see warmer in here today. Today is going to be warmer than yesterday, and the warm air stays through the rest of this week. We are quite mild for your Thursday. Maybe we pull temperatures back just a little bit overnight Thursday night, but Friday still looks partly to mostly sunny and mild. We're also now extending the warm air into Saturday, at least into early Saturday morning. Then the balance of Saturday, we're talking near normal temperatures with increasing clouds by late afternoon and evening. That likely yields a little bit of light precipitation over the later part of the weekend, Sunday, midday, and afternoon. Right now, it looks like we're looking at 80 to 90% coverage across the state, anywhere from a few hundredths to a tenth or two at the very worst, to maybe half or 0.6 inch of moisture central and southern Indiana at the peak. But behind that wave that brings the moisture, we are much cooler now for next week. Monday, Tuesday, we're looking at a very chilly set of weather conditions, and the cold air sticks around on into Wednesday. The problem is overnight Tuesday night through Wednesday, moisture's coming in that cold air, and so I think we're looking at snow. And we could see some decent accumulation here, 1 to 3 inches, if all the moisture holds together the way we're seeing right now. The cold air is definitely going to be in place. So next Wednesday is something to watch for. Going into the period behind that, I think we dry down for Thursday the 9th and Friday the 10th. Cold temperatures for the 9th, warming significantly for the 10th. That means we're going to turn this into a sloppy mess in our hurry as we finish out next week. That's the way things are stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
The broader market picture, very weak on fear concerns. Ag markets followed lower on Tuesday. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Tuesday Farm Market Review. I'm Ian DeEubank, and the review is brought to you by CoAlliance Cooperative, your local agriculture and energy partner for nearly a century. All the numbers coming up. First, market analysis on a very weak day in the markets. Arlen Suderman, StoneX, spoke with me at the end of trade. Arlen, we had weak markets to start the day, weak overnight, weak at the opening of the session, but then at a certain point in the morning, things got even weaker. And you can attribute that to comments from the Fed chair, Jerome Powell. Explain.
Yeah, absolutely. There were a lot of reasons for the markets to be down here at the end of the month. Profit-taking book squaring ahead of the end of the month. We'd reached some significant chart objectives with many of these commodities. There was a kind of a negative tone and fear because of the Omicron that really started making the headlines on Friday. That had traders moving their money to the sideline. But today was the day that Fed Chair Jerome Powell was supposed to speak and testify before the Senate Banking Committee, along with U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. And basically, in his prepared comments released ahead of time, Powell had spoke to the tremendous risks that Omicron, the new variant of COVID, posed to the economy. So the markets were expecting a dovish tone to his comments, but they came out much different, with yes, acknowledging Omicron risk, but focused on inflation, said that the word transitory, who he in which is a word that he first labeled inflation with at the first of the year and that we've been arguing against all year long. He said that word could now be retired. In other words, inflation is more of a problem than what he's been giving it all year long. And he said that the tapering should probably end several months previous to what had been outlined already. And the market started fearing interest rate hikes at that point then as well. So we saw a big sell-off start in the stock market at that point, adding to existing losses already. Same thing in the commodity markets. They were down already for the reasons I outlined, but the selling really picked up when he made those comments all at the same time, adding to the bearishness. And of course, the momentum trading algos computers just really piled on then, with buyers kind of going to the sideline. And so it was an ugly day in the markets.
Very ugly. In the stock market, Dow down about 500, NASDAQ about 200 lower, $4 lower crude oil. And the ag markets sharply lower. Was it primarily what's happening in the outsides, or do we have some other elements at play in grains and oil seeds?
It was primarily what was happening on the outsides. When you look at the supply and demand fundamentals, with the new renewable fuels putting more emphasis on the edible oils being an input for producing energy, we did see soy oil and canola oil under considerable pressure because crude oil was under heavy selling pressure. And so soy oil in particular losses mimicked what we saw in crude oil, and that was a drag on soybeans. But when you look at corn and wheat fundamentals, nothing really has changed there. Quality milling wheat supplies remain tight and continue to get tighter in the world. So end users in the world are just sitting now waiting, okay, when do we come in and really extend our coverage and our forward coverage needs? So we anticipate that to start happening soon. And on the corn side, fertilizer prices are still going up. Supplies continue to be a rising risk as far as being available for this coming year. And the corn market needs to respect that to make sure that there's an incentive there to continue to plant the acreage that is needed for 2022. In the near term, though, it's a sell-off because of the other factors.
What kind of a tail does this week's tone have to it? Are we maybe going to catch here sometime soon and start to claw our way back?
Well, it all comes down to fear. And when fear is in control, perception is reality. And when the VIX is trading up there toward 30, which has traded now a couple of times over the past several trading sessions, that means that money tends to move to the sideline. If we calm the VIX down, showing that the fears have eased on Wall Street, then I think we'll go back to those supply and demand fundamentals, albeit the fact that seasonally things tend to be weak in early December ahead of the holidays anyway.
Arlen Suderman, StoneX.com, chief commodities economist there. Numbers now. March corn on Tuesday went down 14 3/4, going to 567.5. May 570 down 15 3/4. July down 15 3/4, 570 3/4. Beans and wheat led the way lower. Jan beans 12.17 1/4, 24 1/4 off. And March 25.5 down at 12.26.5. And March wheat 35 cents lower, 787. The meat market's down too. February live cattle, 137.90 down 140. 95 cents lower. Feb lean hogs, 79.97. I'm Andy Eubank. You're up to date on the markets on Hoosier Ag Today. Timely, relevant, credible.